Hey, thanks so much for tuning in with us and worshiping with us as we gather in the various places here at church and on the other side of the screen. And in this crazy time, sometimes it's hard to figure out what stays the same. What can you count on from one week to the next? And as believers in Christ, we look back to the fact that Jesus, he did come, he was born, he did live, and he did die, and most of all, he did rise again. In fact, without the hope of the resurrection, we as believers would be quite pathetic. In fact, that's even what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read that together. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have this hope in this life only, we are of all most to be pitied." And the Apostle Paul is making clear here, as Christians, you know, if we think Jesus is risen and that's what our hope is, and he didn't, well, that's kind of ridiculous. But the fact that is, he has risen again. And he continues to say, "But if in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And that is our hope, that he is risen indeed, and that he has conquered even death. Let's sing together, "Christ the Lord."
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Son of man and angels say, alleluia. Praise your joys and triumphs.
Great, hallelujah. Hello, Emmaus. I pray all is well with you and hope you're staying safe and healthy. Due to the stay-at-home or stay-in-place orders in Minnesota, the church offices will be closed until further notice or until the order expires on April 10th. That means all activities at the church have been canceled or postponed. Of course, necessary ministry and other things will be dealt with by the staff, so you can call the church offices at any time. We'll continue to provide for you services online. We'll also be providing more studies online via Zoom or other platforms in the coming week, so you'll get notices of that on the website or via email soon. If you'd like to order plants for our youth group sale, you can also do that online at emmauslutheran.org, where there are many resources available to you, from podcasts to sermons and worship services. Let me just say, as a word of encouragement, something that's been encouraging for me as I've been praying for you through all of this. It's found in Colossians 3:16. These are words that I hope will sit with you well. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. You know, even though these are very, very difficult times, and we're praying for all those who are struggling across this nation and around the world, we have so much to be thankful for. God is with us, and this is a time for us to be drawing near to Him. So I hope you're doing that. Continue to pray for your church. Continue to be in contact with those who are in need. And I hope that we can gather soon. Talk to you later. Bye now.
We read in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Paul says this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Paul is explaining in these verses that if you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then our old self, it says, has died, and our life is hidden with Christ. We have his life. And he's saying, if you have been raised with Christ, in other words, if you're made new because you believe in Jesus, then we can set our minds on Christ, not just on the things of this earth. In fact, he goes on to say, you know, put to death what is earthly among you. And he goes to list on a bunch of things that can cause us to worry and to just get caught up in sin. But then he goes on in verse 12, I should say, "Then put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." I want you to hear a few things from those verses. If you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Let the peace of Christ. Give up our worries and our frets and our anxieties. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatever you do in word or deed, to everything in the name of Jesus, our Savior, because he is truly our hope. There is no other. Let us sing together, Living Hope. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain.
could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul.
you step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, voice in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth. Risen, you reign exalted on high. And we surrender ourselves now to hear your word. Would you speak to us through your spirit? Amen.
Well, good morning, Emmaus. Hope this video finds you well. Today's text is John 9, 1 through 7. Jesus was sent to restore our sight. And so I will read this text for you. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. And he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Lord, these are your words, and may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto your sight, Lord. You are our rock, you are our redeemer, and you restore our sight. Amen. Well, perhaps you are aware of a show called Blue's Clues. You have all the time in the world now to watch some episodes of that. But when I was a kid, I remember occasionally watching this show. And apparently it's been rebooted as of last year. The show is about a dog named Blue and her owner, originally named Steve. Each episode has the same elements to it. Steve starts off by asking a question, usually about what they're going to do that day. And Blue doesn't answer him right away. Instead, leaves clues with her paw prints for Steve and the kids in the audience to point out and answer. And at the end of the episode, Steve sits on this chair, the thinking chair, and puts the clues together, finds the answer. They sing and dance. The problem has been solved. And they move on with the day's activities. It's a simple show, and it has the same format every single episode. And so if you have time to kill, watch an episode with your kids, see what I mean. Practice their logic. This text follows a simple pattern similar to that children's show. In this text, questions are being asked. Clues are observed. And there is work to be done after hearing the answer. But it's a little different. Jesus actually gives the answer in the midst of his clue giving. All his clues point to the salvation he offers for you through his death and resurrection. So to follow along in today's message, again, questions are asked, answers and clues are given, and after the answer is given, we must take action. There is work to be done. And so questions are asked. We understand that our actions have consequences, leading to the disciples asking Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So right away, there's an assumption we're dealing with here that our suffering in this life is connected with sin. So who sinned? And that's a specific sin they're looking for. Who can we blame? Is it the man? Is he responsible for his own blindness? And we know from Scripture that sin has consequences. If you're a murderer or a thief, there is a price to pay. We all have a sense of justice within us. And even those outside of the faith that Paul is ministering to in the book of Acts has this also. Paul is bit by this poisonous viper in the book of Acts, and people assumed that he was a murderer because of that unfortunate event. So people just generally assumed if something bad happens to you, you did something bad and you deserved it. But back to the blind man in the text, he was born blind. So what could have he possibly done to deserve that form of suffering? So that led to the other idea people talked about in that time, was that his parents did something wrong, which also has biblical truth to it. Speaking against idols, God says in Deuteronomy 5:9, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Sin is generational. Sin is not isolated. Your sins affect your neighbor. A father's sin affects the son. So statistically, if you struggle with the bottle, your kid will. If you are divorced, the more likely your children will be. Hatred, bitterness, jealousy, all that can be taught. Sin is passed on. Sin causes suffering. And the problem of suffering causes us to ask questions. So especially now, in 2020, It hasn't been the best of years. It hasn't been kind to many people. But we have to be careful not to become presumptuous about why God allowed the virus to happen. Who sinned? Who can we blame? An individual? Of course, I went full Blue's Clues in searching for this answer. I went all over searching from my apartment, of course. Do we blame the people where the virus originated? Should we blame our governments for not taking proper precautions? Because now we have to stay at home. We have to distance ourselves. It's inconvenient. There's anxiety, boredom, worry, perhaps overconfidence and pride in some of us who are by nature preppers and unseen. But during these times, we find out a lot about ourselves. In any case, when it comes to the question of who sinned, we can say with certainty, everybody. As the saying goes, in Adam's fall, we sinned all, paraphrasing from Romans 5. The disciples in this text are stuck asking questions that can only be answered by God because we are spiritually blind to God's purpose in suffering. But fortunately for them, the rabbi was God. And in response to their questions, Jesus provides answers and clues. Verse 3, Jesus directs the focus of the disciples back to himself. He is the answer. And so he directs the question into a focus on his own actions, which are the works of God. So what you see here in this text is restoration. The purpose this blind man is serving in his suffering is that God's restoring works could be displayed, the text says, to those watching, so that people could sense what God is doing instead of relying on their own thoughts on the matter. This man's purpose in the text was to be a living clue to help the disciples realize what Jesus came to do for us. So Jesus makes the claim in verse 4 that he is sent by the Father, and in verse 5 that he is the light of the world. Jesus was sent for a purpose. And that was to light our path back to our Creator God, because we left to wander in the darkness. So what are the works being displayed here? And Jesus here takes specific actions. Verse 6, he spits, he makes mud. He applies the mud on the blind eyes. A lot of people here make a connection of Christ recreating this man. A reminder of how God created man out of dust and now is recreating this poor blind beggar again using earth, a new creation. That newness of life is the gift that God has for us that we receive by faith, the promise of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And when that day comes, when faith becomes sight, we will see better than ever before, like we've been blind here the whole time. So the sent one, Jesus, sends the beggar, the blind beggar, with a command. He says, go, wash. Job 14:4 says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? There is not one. Anyone can be made physically clean, but only Jesus can cleanse our souls from the stain that is sin. So he does this at the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And why is that in Scripture? Well, interesting thing about the pool of Siloam was that it was made to divert water supplies from an enemy army and to ensure that God's people had water while under siege. So if you've heard of Hezekiah's tunnel, this is that pool that it flows into. Jesus is the sent one who sends his life-giving water not to those who reject him, but to those who are helplessly surrounded by the enemy of sin. So this man, this blind beggar, is a picture of all of us. And I think Luther's quote is quite necessary right now. And that is, we are beggars. This is true. And it is better to be a beggar than to be blindly self-righteous. Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And Jesus confirms that idea we're talking about earlier, that sin, sickness, and death are all related. For example, in John 5, he heals that blind man at the pool of Bethesda. And he says to him after the miracle, he says, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." If he continues in sin, something worse could happen to him. But what is that? What is the worst form of suffering? Right now, we feel the suffering of separation, some of us more than others. But the worst form of suffering is a separation from a gracious God and being under his full wrath for eternity in hell. And so continuing in sin, therefore, leads to the worst form of suffering. So why would we ever want to return to our sins after what Christ has done for us? He suffered the full wrath of God on the cross. He knew no sin, but became sin, so that your old nature could be crucified with him. He took your place that you may live. In Christ, you have new life. But yet suffering remains until he returns, in part to draw us to himself, the only one who can fix that problem. So all of our questions need to be directed at Christ. He knows. He knows we can go nowhere else. We have limited understanding of our suffering. I always think of the disciples who say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." This man, this blind beggar, he came back seeing, showing that no matter our questions, Jesus is the answer. And knowing the answer, we must take action. Verse 4, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." We must work while it is day. Jesus is the light. Night is coming. There is a time limit on when Jesus' ministry was on earth. There is also a time limit until judgment day. There is a time limit on your life. God in his mercy prolongs that day of judgment so that all might come to him and not dwell in darkness. So this text was directed at the disciples who were with him at the time, who had to work with him while he was on earth. Jesus had plenty of work for them to do, sending them out like sheep among wolves to teach others about his truth. So you are also sent out to live life as Christians. But you have limited time. We all do. I think back to high school. I went to a Bible camp, and the speaker there focused on evangelism. And his main point was that when you go to heaven, you can't tell people on earth about Jesus anymore. Which struck me hard because I put a huge burden on myself to talk to others about Jesus. But when that opportunity came, I often failed. I stumbled over my words. And soon my focus turned on my performance of presenting the gospel instead of focusing on Christ himself. But God sent people in my life to point me back to Christ, and for that I am thankful. He is there to pick you up after you fall. So the most important work you can do as a Christian is to point people back to Christ. He is the miracle worker. He is the one who cleanses us from sin. He is the one who raises us from the dead. Jesus is the light within us. So while it is day, let us shine. Christ has sent us to be a witness to his works, which is especially helpful in the world's current state. You as a Christian have a hope unlike any other that you can share with others. So we can move from the question, why is God Why is God doing this to me? To what has God done for me in Christ? So without Christ, we are blind. We are clueless on how to interpret our surroundings. We focus on the wrong questions about affliction. Yet affliction is a clue on how dark this world is. And God redirects us in our sufferings to the cross, the epicenter of suffering and love, where the light of Christ took on darkness and was willingly snuffed in divine wrath. But Christ rose with a light meant to shine you back to God the Father, so that you could be a new creation, washed clean, seeing the world now through his eyes. Jesus was meant to restore your eyes so that you could see his saving work and live your life to display that hope of life in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, your life-giving words. Lord, please open our eyes to see the need of you in this world, and help us to be witnesses to those who are suffering now in our world. Help us to have that hope ready. Help us to shine your light on this darkened world. Give us strength and endurance during these times. We call out to you. Lord, we direct our questions to you. You hold the answer. You hold our lives. You are our comfort and our peace. And for that, we are thankful. In your name we pray. Amen.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I shall see Christ.
Christ only, always living in me. Christ only, always living in me. Christ only.
Lord, we ask that you'd have your way in us this week. That you would have your way in us each day and every morning as we recall that it is not by our strength that we live, but by yours. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me leave you with this verse from Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.